Okay, continuing with Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter's Sefer on Purim, page Kuf Nun Tes, Vayizanev Becha. Vayizanev Becha is part of the Pasuk in Kiseitze, when we're told to remember what Amalek did to you, that he happened upon you on the way, Vayizanev Becha, and he struck those of you, Kol Anecha Shalom Acharecha. He struck the weaklings. Amalek targets the weaklings. Vayizanev Becha means he struck you. Rashi says, makas zanav, like we said, that they struck the zanav, which literally means a tail, but it means the protrusion of a person. And like Rashi said, they cut off the bris milah and they throw it towards Hashem in a very crude and a very scornful rejection of God. Oh God, you like bris milah. So they would mutilate those Jews who are nechashalim, who are the weaklings. So vayizanev becha means they struck at you. Okay, let's see. Hashem sevasai tiftachu fi agiti lasecha, says our Rebbe, Hashem should help me to say the right words. Hinani noitel rishus, I'm asking your permission. Now I told you, I'm going to pause right there for a second, because what he's about to say is something I told him we started to learn these pieces. They're not necessarily the most radical chidushim. We'll have some time while they're Hashem. I'm asking your permission not to space out when I tell you things a little bit that you already know. And try to learn them deeply. Because it's one thing to know an idea in your head, it's another thing to know it in your heart. And that's a big part of the melchama against Amalek, to be able to take an idea from your head and bring it into your heart. So he says, I'm asking your permission to repeat things that I've spoken about in the past. Some of them will be familiar to us from him and from others. Because these are the fundamentals of our faith, of our religion. And if you're bothered by the fact, but I want new Torah. So we have a teaching that Torah has to be, in your eyes, kechadashim. It always has to be new. So it's not the Torah's problem, it's our problem. We have to try to hear it in a new way. The Torah every day. Kechadashim, as if you just got the Torah today. B'chol yom yiyu b'enecha kechadashim. The Torah has to be new in your eyes as if you were just commanded it today. And in particular, in the context of Purim, which is a day of Kabbalah Satara, don't ever forget that. Purim is the day the Jewish people re-accepted the Torah out of love. And therefore, there's no such thing as old Purim Torah. If Purim itself is the day of Kabbalah Satara, that means it always has to be new and has to be fresh by us. Because Purim itself is a day of Kabbalah Satorah. Hadar Kiblua Me'ava. They once again re-accepted the Torah, this time not out of fear, Kafaleim Harki Gigas, a mountain over our head, but out of love. Kabbalah Satorah, Mechadash Mitoch Ischadshus, Ba'ava Hashem Yisbarach. A new acceptance of Torah, with new feelings of love for Torah. And that's something that we have to take upon ourselves to do, to find newness and ideas that we've heard before. Not to say I've heard this Dvar Torah before, so therefore I can, you know, go back to scrolling through ESPN.com. I have to try to hear that inside of Torah in a new way. The test to get into the inner circle of the Vilna Gaon was exactly this. He would make you learn something over and 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 over, dot, 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 over and over and over again. And if you got bored, then the Vilna Gaon would not let you into his inner circle. Because a person who can't see Chiddush in Torah, no matter how many times you've seen the Pasuk, or the Maamar Chazal, or the Mishnah, is lacking something in a basic understanding of the depth of Torah, and the newness of Torah. Okay, so with that, Hakdama and Netilas Rishus asking our permission, let's begin. Megillah inin Hizgalus. Megillah hu milashon Hizgalus. As we learned yesterday, Megillah is a lashon of revealing something, uncovering something. Like we dav in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, please display for us your love. We want to see your love. When there's clarity, when there's revelation, we feel that we're under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wings, so to speak. Hashem puts a sukkah over us. We feel protected. We feel Hashem's love. Sukkah shlomecha, hakavana, shia adam shalim im Hashem yisbarach. right? When I'm under the same roof, so there's something that unifies us, right? There's something that brings us fully together. My whole body's in the room, and Ryan's whole body's in the room, and Noam's whole body's in the room, and Ruben's whole body's in the room, and Alan's whole body's in the room. So there's something about being under the same roof, right, that connects us. That's why in Tumas Oel, if you have two things under the same roof, the Tumah can be transmitted even if they don't have contact. So being in the same room as the dead body will transmit Tumah to you, Tumas Meis, even though you haven't made direct contact with the dead body. Because being under the same sukkah, being under the same roof, by definition, unifies. That's why the Gemara says in Sukkah Dav Chav Zayin, that Ru'uyin Kol Yisrael Leishev B'Sukkah Achas. Which again, the Pashup Shot is not exactly what I'm saying, but the way that it's brought in Sifrei Jewish is that it's fitting, it would be appropriate for the entire Jewish people to sit in one sukkah. Because that's the very nature of sukkah. It unifies. We're all part of one structure. So the idea of Higalena Ufros Chaviv Alay Sukkas Shlomecha is that means when a person has a Hisgalus, again, like we learned yesterday, when you experience Megillas Esther, when you recognize that Hashem is there even when He doesn't seem to be there, it unifies your whole life. There's no times of closeness and times of distance, times where I recognize Hashem and times where I don't recognize Hashem. When there's Hisgalus, when there's revelation, when I see Hashem everywhere and in everything, so then all of a sudden my whole life becomes what? Becomes unified. As opposed to what Haman said about the Jewish people, which is what? What did the Haman call us? Mifuzar or Mifurad. That wasn't just an attack on Jewish unity, my relationship with you. Mifuzar Mifurad meant that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was scattered. When I'm learning or davening or doing a mitzvah, eating matzah, I feel that I'm connecting to Hashem. But when I'm sitting in the library studying for a bio test, I feel that I'm connected to my biology book and not so much Hashem. That's called Mifuzar Mifurad. That means that the pieces of my life are not working hand in hand. There's some disconnect. So he's saying, Megillah, the goal again of Purim, is to realize that regardless of what it looks like on the inside is always united. Regardless of how it appears on the outside, and again, this is a very deep idea, which we could maybe get into in a much deeper way in another shir, but the idea that on Purim we're reaching the heights. Again, don't forget, Purim's bigger than Yom Kippur. I'm not going to explain any of that right now. I'm sure you know some of it. But Purim is, in a certain sense, the biggest and the deepest. Which means it somehow is able to tie together all the loose ends. And that's why Haman is so evil. He's Mifuzar, Mifurad. Amalek tries to create Sveikos. Sveikos means I don't know anything. I don't know what's right and what's wrong. As opposed, right? I don't know if Hashem is here or Hashem is not there ever. I'm always mububal. I'm always confused. As opposed to the reality that should be, which is I always know Hashem is with me. Sometimes I see it more, sometimes I see it less. But I know it as a fact. This is part of the costumes of Purim. It doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. The outside is utterly irrelevant. The unifying point within is always true. And that's what Amalek is trying to attack. So we daven, Higalena, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please reveal yourself or reveal to us this aspect of yourself. That you love us in such a way that we can experience Sukkas Shalomecha, that we feel that wherever we are, we're under your sukkah. HaKesher HaNifla, Shebein Yisrael HaShem Yisbarach, bottom paragraph. Vayedeza, when we daven, when we say this tefillah, this song, where are these lines from? Yidid Nefesh. Ta'ir eretz michvodecha, let the world be illuminated by your glory, by your honor, nagila v'nismecha bach, so that we can celebrate Bach. We want to celebrate Bach. What's the title of this piece? Vayizanev Bicha. Amalek attacks the Bicha, or the Bach. What does that mean? Kine kol habriya kula hu sipor echad. This is a really nice way to look at the world. You could look at today, you know, a Tuesday in the month of Shvat as its own story. And you can look at each of us having our own version of the story. From the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep tonight, each one of us is living some, you know, a short film. You could say we're all part of a collective film. Right? You can see it a little bit more from Hashem's perspective, which is all of us are, so to speak, actors in a show that Hashem is watching. We could choose to connect this day in time to all of time. So this could just be one small scene in a very long, you know, in a very long performance that stretches from Adam Arishon to Mashiach. So says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, Hinei kol habriya kulo hu sipor echad. Right? One of the ways that we can overcome sort of the mefuzar, mefurat of our life is by trying to recognize my life in the bigger context. Not to see myself, or not to see any particular part of my life as an independent thing. Right? Like, so many people get into trouble with this. Let me just pause for a second. You know how people get into trouble with this? I had a guy in my office last week. What was the main spiritual struggle he was having, or which he, Baruch Hashem, was overcoming? The fact that he decided that Eretz Yisrael, the impression that he had, that going to Israel for the year or more, which he did, was supposed to overturn the first 18 years of his life. Right? Meaning, I want the new me to be so much better than the old me that it sort of like negates, it destroys the old me. He didn't realize that doing that, there's an element of mefuzar, mefurad that comes with that. Because how could you, what do you mean? That's all part of your story. And by the way, your personal story is part of your family story, which is part of your ancestor story, which is part of Klal Yisrael's story, which is part of the world's story. So says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, Sukkah Shlomecha, the Megillah, Higalena Sukkah Shlomecha. Put a sukkah over all of history. Put like a big, you know, put like a big canopy over the whole world and all of history. And try to see the entire Bria, try to see all of world history, all of creation, as Sipor Echad, as one big story, where the director is directing every scene. It's true each generation has its own mission statement. And it's true that each person has their own mission statement. As the Noam Eliyahu Melech writes in Parshas Noach, that the mitzvah of his generation was tzitzis. And as the Nesivos Shalom writes, that the mitzvah of our generation is chinuch, is improving our educational standards and abilities. Or as the Chazon Ish said, the mitzvah of our generation is emunah. Right? And each person has their own personal mission statement as well. So it's true. There is a truth to living now, right? And I don't necessarily have to figure out how this scene in 2020 ties back in to some scene in the 1600s. However, aval hakesher sheyesh lanu im Hashem Yisbarach hu kesher yashan ad mod. But to realize that the bond that we feel with Hashem preceded this particular moment. It's something that preceded my neshama coming to this world. Right? It's something that preceded creation of the world. So in a certain sense, I'm part of every bit of the Bria. I'm not just living in the small context of my life, where I am on planet Earth, and the time period in which I live, and these are my parents, and this is my education, and this is the shirt I'm wearing right now, right? And this is the coffee that I'm sipping. It's connected to every bit of history. Kesher nifla v'nora ma'ot. An amazing and wondrous connection. Yisrael alu, the machshava tchila, top of page kof samach. The Jewish people entered the machshava tchila, the original thought of God. Bereshis b'shvil Yisrael shenekereshis. We're the starting point of the whole universe. Kol tachlis abriya hu b'shvil ha-Torah shenekereshis. The world is created for Torah, which is called reshis. The world was created b'shvil Yisrael shenikru reishis. Anu tachlis habriya. A Jew has to be able to believe, I am b'shvili nivra ha'olam. Did you ever think about it in this way? Did you ever think about it in this way? B'shvili nivra ha'olam. That's something that happened 1,000... Sammy, did you ever think about it this way? Something that happened 1,000 years ago happened only to create a ripple effect for you to be sitting in that seat right now. That's b'shvili nivra ha'olam. The world was created for me. Something happened 1,000 years ago in Eastern Europe to get you to that seat. Right? Now, You may be able to make those connections, or you may not. But a Jew has to believe, right, that I, both as an individual and obviously the collective, this is the tachlis of the Bria. This is everything that happened prior to this moment was leading up to this moment. That's an amazing idea. Anu tachlis habria. We are the purpose of creation. And again, it's not gaiva. We're not saying it as a way of disconnecting ourselves from people across the hall. Right? We're living in the moment, but we're also connecting ourselves to people across the hall, and we're connecting ourselves to people across the ocean 1,000 years ago. Hinu gedolim ad ma'od. We have to realize how big we are. And how, yes, our little part in the big story is a big deal. Shaharei anachnu chelko v'nachalaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chelek. We're His chosen portion in the world. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu kel chai chelkenu tzureinu. Yashna ava atzuma shel Hashem Yisbarach levenei Yisrael v'anu la Hashem Yisbarach. And therefore there's this very, very great dependency and love that's felt between us and Hashem. Hashem's love for us, and Hashem's unwavering love for us, and our unwavering love for Him. And that's what we're going to study today. Okay? Kesher zeh eino niten lihinatek klam. A bond that is unable to be dissolved. Elesh yesh ha'alama bepirud. But what does a malik represent? A malik represents ha'alama, concealment. Again, all you have to remember is how to translate the name of the book. Megillas Esther. Alright, it doesn't mean the scroll of Esther. It also means that. What it really means is Megillat Esther, uncovering and revealing Hester, that which was always there, but was Esther, was in a state of concealment. So there's an appearance, Shiesh Ha'alama Upirud. There's an impression of concealment. There's an impression of disconnect. So when that Haman, when that Amalek gets in your ear and says, Mifuzar Mifurad, Mifuzar Mifurad, you're not connected, you have to say it's not true. It looks like that. I understand why you're saying that, Amalek. I get from an outsider's perspective, right? You don't look like a Jew. You look like LeBron James. No, I'm just wearing a LeBron James jersey. It's my Purim costume. Right? I understand why you thought that this wasn't, that it's not really me anymore. Right? And you're trying to redefine me based on my outsides. Oh, you're a gorilla. No, I'm just wearing a gorilla costume. I'm not a gorilla. I'm a Yid. I'm a Neshama. I'm a Chelek Elokam Mimal. Again, I understand why it looks that way. I understand why you're confused, Amalek, right? But I'm not going to let that voice get in my head. Because, again, Zachor Eis Asher Asa Lecha Amalek. Amalek tries to what? Tries to convince you that the you, the essential you, is a... The essential you is a basketball player. The essential you is a lawyer or a doctor, right? Or a guy from, I don't know, from wherever, who dresses a certain way, thinks a certain way, and reads certain book, and listens to a certain type of music, and watches a certain type of show, and enjoys a certain type of food. None of those things are you. And that's what Purim's about. Purim's about getting to the Etzem Davar, the essence of you. Like I told you yesterday, Esther Davin the Tehillim Chaf Beis, save me from the cat, that dog that's targeting Yichidasim, my uniqueness, Yichida, the deepest part of the soul. The Ginzei HaMelech. The Ginzei HaMelech, a term you find in Megillas Esther. Okay, yes, Yosef Zohar. Let's hear.
So, on that idea, and the idea that was brought before, bio, studying bio,
yeah.
It reminds me of a mission I pick you up with if you stop and you look at a tree, you see how beautiful is this tree.
Right.
That for some reason, it's considered a very big
right.
problem. But a commentary on that sort of changes the paradigm of that, of the context of that. If you say, oh, how beautiful for the sake of the tree itself,
right.
Rather than saying, oh, how beautiful it is that Hashem created this tree.
Right.
There's left. So
that's right.
If you recognize the root of Hashem actually, like Hashem's hand in creating that tree, that you've actually got to want a good
That's right. Then. That's correct. So, as the Baal Shem Tov said, if a person, right, because the Lashon of the Mishnah is, if you interrupt your learning to comment how beautiful is the tree, so then the Mishnah has very sharp words for such a person. So Baal Shem Tov said, right, because if you see it as interrupting your learning, then you're mifuzar mifurad. Then you're mifuzar mifurad. Then you're scattered. Hashem is only found when my head's in the sefer. The second I look up and see a beautiful tree, that has nothing to do with Hashem. That's just my own physical enjoyment and pleasure from this world. And that's a tragedy. That's then a Malik is winning. That's really bad. That's a big deal. Yes?
Just a nice note that I heard on Purim, that when we dress up on Purim,
Yeah?
Like, I just say, like, the reason, like, why someone wears LeBron jersey is because they're super into basketball and, like, they would, like, want to be, like, it's, like, what they're aspiring to be. Whereas on Purim himself, like, then, but then on Purim, like, we have that on the outside, so then on Purim we have the chance to see what's actually on the inside.
Right. Because you move that perception outward. You don't want to be Atav? Ah, but maybe you do. Maybe it's in some deeply inner way. Josh, what are you going to be this year for Purim?
I don't know, but one year I dressed up as like an American.
Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. This proves what David just said. That's the clear. Chas v'shalom. Okay, good. So let's go weiter, chevra. So there's a halama and a pirud, which means that there's a perception. Right? Again, it's all perception. Everything is perception. Everything is perception in Yiddishkeit. It's all about making sure I'm able to not be fooled by the way I see things, not be fooled by a superficial understanding of things. V'chein anu ro'im b'chol sipur, b'sipurei ma'isios. When you read through the stories of Rabbi Nachman, and the same thing is true for every good story. Shu maschil b'kesher nifla. It starts off with some, like, you know, it's strong, clear plot. And then there's like this plot twist that takes you off into the middle of nowhere. Then you're wondering, like, what does this have to do with anything? Until it comes full circle and all the pieces snap into place, you're like, oh, wow, that's amazing. It was right in front of my face and I didn't realize what it had to do with anything. And now I realize how all of that middle section, which seemed like filler, was actually very essential parts to the story. That's a good story. That's an exciting story or a good movie. So a Jew has to understand my part of the story, even if it looks like just a diversion from the main story. Like the main story was Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov saw Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And the end of the story is going to be Mashiach and Geula. But like some of this middle stuff, we're kind of like just extras in the film. You know? So we'll get like a paycheck for like $12. Yeah? And if we're lucky, we'll get our name in the credits. But like, you know, don't let it go to your head. You're really not that chashuv. So Bishvili Nivra HaOlam says, no, you are the main actor in the play. You're the most important person. Right? You are the plot twist. You're the most gishmak part. You are the plot twist. That's the title of today's show. You are the plot twist. You have to remember that. You are the plot twist. So when you get into like a really, you know, messy scene and you think like you're messing up the whole script, don't be menatek yourself. Don't disconnect yourself from Hashem as if to say, shoot, I just botched that scene. And now the whole film is off course. That even when a Jew is in the mud, yesh litzok v'litzok v'litzok. Call out to Hashem, call out to Hashem, call out to Hashem, val yedei kein moichim. And in such a way, you're able to fight back. Plan yagaz lanahu, the achal arai bigaz lanusa. The Gemara Baba Basra says, if a person is making a claim, you shouldn't just say, I was robbed. Say who robbed you. Plan yagaz lanahu, this one robbed me, and here's what he did. The achal arai, he took my land, bigaz lanusa, with his theft. This guy is a thief, and he stole my land. That's Esther pointing to Haman / Ahasuerus and saying, Ish sarva oyev, and she's pointing at him. Here's the guy, here's what he did, and I'm not going to take it. That's how you defeat a malik. When it looks like you're about to drown in the mud, you call out a malik, you call out to Hashem. You say, Hashem, is this part of the plan? Is this one of the scenes? And Hashem says, yes, this is all part of the story. And when you call out to Hashem, right? In that part of the movie that doesn't make so much sense when it's happening, that's us. And you cry out to Hashem, and you reattach yourself to Hashem. At the point where you look most disconnected, isn't that the most beautiful connection? To be connected to Hashem when everything's good, shkayach. But to be able to show the part of the story that looked like it was disconnected from the story is actually deeply connected to the story, that's the most geschmack part of the story. Such a beautiful way to present it. Bottom paragraph. Be'emtzat sipur ha'aruch hazeh. Mishava Sipurim Bisipurim Nifla. In the middle of this wondrous story, this long story, there are many shorter stories. Bechlolus Am Yisrael. Ubipratis called Nefesh V'Nefesh Mi Yisrael. There's the world story. There's Klal Yisrael's story within that. Yeah? There's Joe's story within that. Right? There's a detail of a particular story within. Everyone has their piece within it. V'chol Echad Mehem Choshuv B'Yo Yisrael Yitzel Hashem Yisrael. And no one's piece in the story, no one's part in the story, is tafel. Everything is ikar. Everything is essential. K'mo Shenemar Ahavti Yaschem Amar Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I love you. Love is not a cheap word. It shouldn't be, at least. We use love sometimes too casually. But if God says, I love you, what does that mean? What can we assume about that love? It's like the Chavetz Chaim's Vart on Don't Take a Bribe. Chavetz Chaim says, the Torah says, you shouldn't take bribes. Because if someone bribes you, it can blind you from seeing the truth. A person who takes a bribe is not able to see things clearly. Because bribery blinds the eyes of even those who are very wise, says the Torah. Einei chachamim. The eyes, which really means also the mind. The mind of a person. You give someone a couple of dollars, the next thing you know, right, their whole way of thinking has shifted because you bribed them. So the Chafetz Chaim says, what does the Pasuk say? Bribery is damaging for what? For chachamim. Who's writing this? Hashem's writing it in the Torah. Aha. So it must be that the one who's being called a chacham by the Pasuk is a chacham in the eyes of Hashem. Right? A real chacham. A two-year-old looks at his four-year-old big brother and says, wow, you're so smart. He's not a chacham. He's smarter than a two-year-old. A chacham, in the essential use of the word. But if Hashem calls someone a chacham, no, it's a chacham, right? If Hashem says that bribery is going to be damaging for someone who's truly a chacham, wow, that's how dangerous bribery is. So if Hashem says something in the Torah, Chafetz Chaim's point is, again, that's how damaging bribery is. Bribery is not just for people who are like, you know, not such good people. Even someone who Hashem says is a really smart, clear-thinking person will be corrupted by bribery. So if Hashem speaks, we take it seriously. It's not like a two-year-old complimenting a four-year-old or a sixth grader saying to an eighth grader, wow, you're so good at basketball. Right? That's only a relative type of you're so good at something. It's nothing compared to the big leagues. So when Hashem talks and gives a compliment, then it's real stuff. So if Hashem says, by way of the Navi Malachi, Ahavti Aschem, Amar Hashem, I love you, what does that mean? That's love. That's the essence of what love is. That's real love. That's not someone saying, you know, to someone else, you know, who like, I don't know, picked up your lunch for you and brought it to you. Oh, I love you, man. Thank you so much. That's great. I had such a busy day. That's thank you for doing a favor. And I'm happy that I have a friend who's willing to help me out. You know, you didn't mean love in the deepest sense of love. But if Hashem says about his relation with Klal Yisrael, I love you, that's the deepest thing in the world. And if Hashem says it, it's never going away. God is eternal and his statements are eternal. That's why the Torah is eternal. That's why the Jewish people are eternal. Says the Zohar HaKadosh, such a beautiful line. Look at the Zohar. Il male yodin b'nei nasha rachimusa derachim kutchabrichu liyisrael. Il male. If only we knew. Il male yodin b'nei nasha. B'nei nasha means people. If people only knew. Rachimusa derachim kutchabrichu liyisrael. The rachima means if we only knew how much Hashem loved us. Havushagin kakafiraya lemirdaf abasre. We'd be roaring like lions. We'd be so energized by it. Lemirdaf abasre, to chase after. To want to live within that. As opposed to it being some distant idea that, you know, you once read in a sefer. You'd be spend your whole life pursuing that. It'd be the focus of your entire existence. If only we knew how much Hashem loved us. And therefore, says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, the feelings are mutual. To the degree that we know how much Hashem loves us, we love Him back. And in Purim, the day of Kabbalah Satorah, Me'ahava, is a day where that love is supposed to express itself in the most expressive way. Megillas Esther, Megale. All the things you wanted to say to Hashem all year round, but you were too shy to say. It didn't feel real. So you had to He had a little bit of wine. Nichlas Yayin Yotza Sod. The seeker comes out, and the Jew on Purim is saying how he really feels about Hashem. And it's beautiful. It's not fake. It's beautiful. It's real. It's coming from a deep place. Go to the next page. Kuf Samach Aleph. I don't know if you have to turn the page or if you just have to look over to the side. Page Kuf Samach Aleph. Yesh Chiyuv Lahamin Shekesher Zehu B'cholam Atzavim. Let's learn a great paragraph. There's an obligation to believe that this kesher is present in all situations. Anu zachinu lebris olam Hashem yisbach. We are zocha to a bris. Again, two people get together, they make some type of bond, some type of commitment to each other. Right? It's not guaranteed to last forever. One of them could breach the treaty. They could renegotiate the terms of the treaty. A husband and wife could, God forbid, choose to get divorced. A Rebbe and a Talmud could decide to stop learning Torah together. Right? There's only one bris that's an essential bris. And again, it explains so simply and clearly why a Malik hates bris mila. Why does a Malik hate bris mila? Vayizanev b'cha, like I told you when we started, the name of this piece, Vayizanev b'cha, they chopped off the bris mila. They were mezalzel kedushas habris. Why? Because the only bris, the only covenant, the only treaty, the only promise, that's an eternal binding covenant, is the deal that we make with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is the stamp upon our soul that you are a Jew. So when a Malik targets the bris, they're trying to say, no, this bris is like any other bris. If you behave properly, if you keep the terms, so then the treaty continues. If you breach the terms of the treaty, then it's off. It's canceled. And we have to believe, says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, that no, it's an eternal love. It's an eternal bond. Anu zachinu lebris olam im Hashem yizbarach. We have an eternal bris with Hashem. Anu tzrichim la'ahov es Hashem la'ol me'adu l'netzach nitzachim. We have to love Him unconditionally, the same way He loves us, unconditionally. V'chol aruchos, v'chol amanios, v'afraos, and all of the winds of time, and all of the obstacles, and all of the blockage. Aser sheyastiru asa'ava shala'otim l'Hashem yizbarach. Like we said yesterday, we were chadish yesterday, that even when, so to speak, the hand of Esav is over your eyes, we still say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I still believe in you, Hashem. And then what do? You take off the hand from your eyes. Yeah? Roshim Kumach Solam Ved. What's the first thing you say? V'yahavta. The love is still intact. Even when a malek covers my eyes and I can't see anything, I know, Megillas Esther. Right? And then I what's the first word? Starts with love. V'yahavta. It's so beautiful. That it's Osir She'astiras Ha'ava Shal Adam L'Hashem Yisbarach. A malek cannot block out your belief in your ability to love Hashem and Hashem's love for you. V'gam Keshu Munachas V'Shalom B'Shal Tachtas U'Malek Hatayim. And therefore, even when a Jew is in his worst situation, full of sin, Tzorach L'Ahov Es Hashem Yisbarach. He needs to love Hashem. What's he saying here? He's saying the obligation and mitzvah of Avas Hashem applies every second of every day of your life. It's one of the six constant mitzvahs. Avas Hashem, loving Hashem. That means as you're being Mechal Shabbos, you have to love Hashem. As you're eating without a bracha, you have to love Hashem. As you're being Mezalzel and Kedushas Abris, you have to love Hashem. Why? Because no aveira in the world exempts you from the other mitzvah of loving Hashem. It's not, well, I did this aveira, so now I'm putter from that aveira. This is one of my favorite ideas, what he's about to write. Look at this. I think this is one of the strongest ways to makarev someone back to Yiddishkeit, who has a perception of being far from Hashem. K'shem sha'achote u'posheya eino putter mi'mitzvah senachas tefillin. A person who's a sinner, is he putter from wearing tefillin? Old students who I taught 10 years ago, who are, so to speak, in the camp of off the derech, he's as obligated this morning in tefillin as any of us. Right? Now, in his mind, he's like, tefillin, what do you mean? Like, Rabbi, I've got much bigger problems. No, this is an equally big problem for you as anything else. As is putting on your right shoe before your left shoe this morning. You're a Jew. You're bound by Judaism. Right? And that's not a way of dumping in more responsibility on a person who feels far away. That's a way of saying, you're mekusher to all of this. A person who's a sinner is still chayiv in tefillin. O mitzvah kriyashma, u mezuzah. He's obligated in all these things. Ve'enu niftar mishmira Shabbos. No, I don't keep Shabbos. I chose not to keep Shabbos. Right? So you see that same guy who doesn't keep Shabbos, which is, again, in the hierarchy of religious values, Shabbos is pretty high up. You see that guy, right, putting on his shoes in the morning, he's putting on his left shoe before his right shoe. Say, whoa, hold on a second. There's a halacha about that. First the right shoe, then the left shoe. And he's like, I got much bigger problems. I don't even do Shabbos. So what? You're a yid. A yid puts on his right shoe, then his left shoe. You're not exempt from that halacha because you do bigger averos. You're still a Jew. V'gamu mitzuva l'kayim atorim kol pratev diktuka. Right? You tell him there's a sif katan in the shach, in your adaya, that I feel like you're not being makpid on. He's like, we taught, I don't do anything. Right? You're a Jew. That's part of your responsibility. Come on, Moshe Rabbeinu al Vasham. You're as chayiv to keep mitzvahs as Moshe Rabbeinu. V'cheinu mitzuva al v'ahavta l'vecha kamocha. You have an obligation to love your fellow Jew. You have an obligation not to speak Lashon Hara. You have an obligation to check your broccoli for bugs. You're mechuyev in everything. Kvar kosav Rambam. Look at this line from the Rambam. I love this line. The Rambam wrote in a letter. In the letters of the Rambam. Sheyaravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat. Who's Yeravam ben Nevat? The wicked Yeravam ben Nevat who's described by the Navi as what? As chote umachti. One who sins and causes others to sin. The evil Yeravam ben Nevat v'chaveirav. So pick like the worst chevra of guys, you know? Yitnu din v'cheshbon. Yeravam ben Nevat is going to have to answer. The same Yeravam ben Nevat who set up Avodah Zarah, who set up an egel, a golem, that Jews should worship idolatry in the land of Israel. That same Yeravam ben Nevat is going to have to answer din v'cheshbon al shalo asu eruve tavshilin be'erev yom tov shechal yos b'shabbos. Yeravam, you forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin. He'll be like, I'm sorry, excuse me? You forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin. You have to make an Erev Tavshilin to show that when you're preparing for Yom Tov, he's like, whoa, stop right there. Preparing for Yom Tov what? The Yom Tov that I, Asher Badu Miliba, like the Navi says, the Yom Tov that I made up in my heart? What Yom Tov? What Shabbos? What are you talking about? Chote Umachti. But you have to answer for every halacha. For every halacha, even the ones that people think, like, yeah, I don't, you know, yeah, I don't do that. I'm modern, I don't do that. That's nice, you're Jewish, you do that. You just don't do it at the moment, but you're obligated to do it. You can't declare yourself modern and then, like, you're exempt, you know? Now it's mutter to kiss other people's wives. I'm modern. What does that mean? It doesn't work like that. But it's a chizuk, it's not a mussar, it's a chizuk. That means you're a real Jew. You're a real Jew and you're bound by the laws of Judaism. And that's Hashem's way of saying, I'm not giving up even on Erev Tavshilin by you. And I'm not giving up on how you put your shoes on in the morning or how you wipe yourself in the bathroom, because those are halachos. Hashem says, I'm not giving up on you. Kamo al siyas ha'golim. The same way Yeravam is going to have to answer for his version of Chet Ha'egel, you're going to have to answer for not making an Erev Tavshilin. Ki afal pi shechatu b'avodah zarah, lo nisbatal mehem shem Yisrael. Even though you do avodah zarah, you're still a yid. Period. And that's what Amalek wants us to stop believing. Amalek wants us to think that the bris is a bris that's contingent upon behavior. It's not contingent upon behavior. Chev, I really think on a certain level, this is the secret of drinking on Purim. I told you yesterday. The Gemara in Pesachim says, there are three people who Hashem hates. The opposite of love is hate, no? There are three people Hashem hates, and one of them is a person who gets drunk. So why would I do on Purim something that Hashem hates? And the answer is to show that even when I do something that Hashem hates, He still loves me. It's as simple as that. To show that the love is not conditional. You could do something that the Gemara says Hashem hates, and Hashem still loves you. Not that you should do averos, right? Be careful here. I always have to emphasize it because, you know, I don't need to get called out for, oh, I heard you told the guys there you can do averos and Hashem still loves you. Right? That's what Chassidus is. Chassidus says you can do whatever you want and God still loves you. That's true. It is true. It is true. But we do it. We take these words with responsibility, not with irresponsibility and excuses.
Also, you have to think that you have to take that with a grain of salt to say Hashem loves me. The same like your parents love you too. When you do something wrong, that doesn't mean they stop loving you, but you're certainly going to get punished for
it. You will get punished, and they're not happy with you, and there are consequences. But the essential love is never dissolved. That's right. Let's read the bottom paragraph, and then I'll take a few comments. V'davar zeh gila rabbeinu. And this is, again, why Rabbi Nachman's Torah is so important in the world, because Rabbi Nachman emphasized this and taught it in a deep way, in a nuanced way. Not just God loves you, you can do whatever you want. I mean, people make fun of deep Torah because they don't understand the nuance of everything we've been saying this morning. V'davar zeh gila rabbeinu. Rabbi Nachman is explaining, Sha'af osam ibnei Yisrael, sh'rachmana litzlan. Harei heim mekusharim b'avonoseihim ve'eim menichim osam. What happens if a person falls into the category of sinners that Hashem is not extending a hand to them anymore? What happens, so to speak, when God is no longer yemincha pshuta lekabel shavim, that Hashem is trying to pull you back in? Because there is such a category. There's a category where Hashem says, on the surface, again, a perception of I don't want your tshuva. It's the hardening of Paro's heart. They say, why am I bringing a raya from Paro? Because that's what the Rambam does. Al derech shekos of a Rambam, the Rambam writes in Uchos Tshuva, ve'efsher sheyech the adam chet gadol. Sometimes a person does a big avera, uchatam rabim, or many smaller averas, that it creates a wall, it creates a blockage. Again, a perception of blockage. Shehe apira on mizeh hachoyte v'chulu. That there's consequences for those sins, no question about it. We believe in schar and onesh. We believe in reward and punishment. And they don't give you permission to what? To come back. To return from your wicked ways. Therefore the Torah says, what happens when I've chosen a pattern of sin to the point that what? That Hashem is giving me a strong vibe, I'm not interested in you. You have to know that's only on the surface. Think about the mashal I just gave you. Not a mashal, it's a line from our tefillah. Yemincha pshuta lekabel shavim. Yemincha, Hashem, your right hand is extended, lekabel shavim, to greet me. So what happens if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pretending to not extend his right hand to you? No. So what do you do? Extend your hand to him. What does the Gemara say on Purim? What does Chazal tell us about Purim? We have a rule on Purim when it comes to what? When it comes to answering people's requests on Purim. Kol ha-poishet yad. What's the Gemara say? Kol ha-poishet yad. Anyone who extends their hand? Yeah. Normally, if someone comes to your door, yeah, I think tzedakah, you can say, who are you? Why should I give you? Right? I want to just look into them. I'm not saying you're a bad guy. So who are you? Who are you? What are your credentials? How do I know you're telling the truth? Right? There are people who come and take advantage of innocent people and make up fake stories. So I'm allowed to be ma'ayin a little bit into who this person is. On Purim, the rule is kol ha-poishet yad noisim lo. Anyone who extends their hand, you give them. So what do you do when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you this perception that he's not interested in you? You say, Hashem, I know you're lying, and you stick out your hand first. And then Hashem grabs you by the hand. It's all a perception. It's possible for a person to overcome that. Right? It's possible for a person to overcome that. Afal pichin. Yishaf v'yikavel Hashem yisbach. Like we said, what did we say yesterday? What was the remez? Kaveh el Hashem, chazak v'yamitzibecha, v'kaveh el Hashem. What happens if kaveh el Hashem, I put my hope in Hashem, and I feel like there's no response? What do you do? Chazak v'yamitzibecha, v'kaveh el Hashem. Try again. So that's what we said yesterday. Rav Avram Shor says that kaveh el Hashem plus kaveh el Hashem is gematria purim. When I continue to hope. Shekol koivecha lo yevoshu. Right? Like we sing on Purim. That all hopes are not turned away empty-handed. I believe, Shehu Elokav, Hashem, you're my God. I know you still want me. I know you're a little upset at me. But I know the essential love is still there. Hu barav, hu ovo. You created me. You love me. V'yitzake love. I call out to you. Val yedei kein, yuchal letzeis. Bashar heisig rabbeinu go de la kesher. Shemein Yisrael, avim shva shemayim. And I know that if you're not making the first move, so I'll make the first move towards you. Like the Rambam says, if you get the perception that Hashem's not interested anymore, so keep fighting it. Don't give up. Don't give up. Okay, let's hear a few comments. Yeah.
So there's that last part where Ram was a tefillah. So I think it was with Ezra when, or maybe not, Yirmiyahu, that when we're switching over our avoda from avodas Beit HaMikdash to tefillah, and I've heard like a lot of points that it was because Hashem isn't going to bring His Shekhinah like down to us. Now we have to like do the opposite and bring ourselves like up to like, and that's like the outstretching.
Right.
So I think that
it's always the question: who leads the way? Yeah, who leads the way? Yes, Daniel.
You're talking about abuse before. You're saying about how like abuse, like not, it's not that you're not supposed to do that, but like you're still like, essentially good. Like, if God's perfect and this world's perfect, then, like, essentially, Avirus have to be a part of it, the perfection.
It's part of the story, yeah.
If God didn't want you to do that, you'd never put them on a certain person.
Yeah, that's a very deep and complicated sugya you're saying. But obviously, the tshuva that comes after the Avera, which has the ability, according to Chazal, to turn an Avera into a mitzvah, right, must be that somehow...
Four people were there perfect, they said about them that they didn't think their last, they didn't have a
problem. Right, that's correct. Everyone sins. Again, we have to be very, very, very careful with that idea because you're touching on something that's so dangerous. But also so true. Also so true. And when we do tshuva, we don't try to do averas, but the reality is we all mess up, and that's okay. What's not okay is to not do tshuva. What's not okay is to be convinced by Amalek because you messed up, now you've lost your relationship with Hashem. That part's not okay. Yeah. Sure.
Yishai, right before the...
Like Shi'ifa, like longing.
Okay, and how about Mo'il?
Mo'il, help.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Yes?
What are the six constant mitzvahs?
What are the six constant mitzvahs?
Love Hashem, fear Hashem,
Yirat Hashem.
The box.
If
you ever forget what they are, you can look at the very beginning of the Mishnah Berurah. The first Bir Halacha, he quotes them. Aleph, Lahamin Sheyesh Eloka Echad Bo'olam, to believe that there's a God in the world, a singular God in the world. Shehimsi calling himself that Hashem runs the world and created the world and everything is, that's Aleph. Beis, Shalona Amin B'Shum Elokim Zulaso, right? First two commandments. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and Lo Yia Elokha Elohim Acherim. Number three, Liachdo, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad, the oneness of Hashem. So there is a God. There's no other God, right? There's a oneness to Hashem. So you say that's not the same thing as no other God. Okay, not for now. Le'ahov, you can figure it out though. Number four, le'ahov ha'makum barachu, to love Hashem. Ya'avta eis Hashem elokecha. Constant mitzvah. Number five, yiras Hashem. Fearing a Kodesh Baruch Hu, as Hashem elokecha tira. Right? Tira is gematria toira. It's the all-encompassing mitzvah. And number six, Shalom Nasur Achem Achshava Salev Ruiya Seinayim. Lo Sasur Achem Levavchem Vacherei Einechem. There's a way to connect these six to the six directions. Picture yourself standing in a box and try to figure out. There's a nice way to... Okay, see if you can match them up. Yeah.
I just want a personal anecdote about the Everyone Has a Story.
Go for it.
That's one of the things I try to like I made this video for the commentator. It hasn't come out yet. The mail room. Yeah, and I talked to the people there. And you guys can see it.
We look fine.
I discovered that's kind of what I'm trying to do. It's like there are these fun things. You can make anything engaging, and also there's a lot of this fun. There's cool stuff everywhere.
There is good stuff everywhere. It's just about having the right perspective. It's all about perspective. Hashem is all good. It's all good. It's just about perspective. It's just about deepening your way of understanding things. Yeah?
Is there one mitzvah to love the
Derecha? There is a mitzvah, yeah.
How is that not constant?
That's mitzvah 611 of 613. How is that not constant, walking in Hashem's ways?
Yeah.
Good question. It's a good question what makes these six the six. One could argue that there are others. Yeah. The Halach the Bedrachov. Isn't that an all-encompassing mitzvah? Good question. Yeah, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things in theory. What's with these six that the Sefer HaChinuch called the six constant mitzvahs? Good question. Not sure how to answer that. Not sure how to answer that. Yeah.
Why is it the Gemara say that there's four people who never sin themselves?
Yeah, the Gemara has a short list in Maseches Shabbos and Daf Nun Hei of people who never did Averos. And they're not the most famous people. That's the bottom line. That's sort of how some of the Svarim explain it. The fact that these are not our gedolim. Arba meisu be'et yoshal nachash, four died because of the bite of the snake, meaning the only reason they died is because of what happened in Gan Eden. Ve'elohein, Binyamin ben Yaakov, Binyamin never sinned. Amram, the father of Moshe. Yishai, the father of David. And Kil'av, the son of David. And all of them, Kulu Gemara, they're all a tradition except for Yishai, the father of David, which we have a pasuk that seems to say it. The other ones we just have Mesorah, that these people never sinned. Again, it doesn't actually say they never sinned. It says they died be'et yoshal nachash. That's certainly one way to understand it. But again, these are not the most famous people. These are the fathers and the brothers and this, you know, these are the relatives of the most important people in our Mesorah. So, okay. The truest tzaddikim, they make mistakes, and that's okay. That's the way Hashem runs the world. Okay, it's getting a little late, so let's just finish up one last paragraph for today. Because I didn't tell you any gematrias yet, so we'll do one little paragraph that lends ourselves to some nice Purim gematrias. Vizehu, top of page, Kuf Samach Beis, last paragraph for today. Vizehu, Klipas Amalek, and now we come back to the title of our piece. See? He told us. You start the story, you go on a whole long adventure, and then you come back to where you started. That's what Amalek does. Vayizanev Becha. Amalek is vayizanev becha. That's worse than remember what Amalek did licha. I think becha is even worse than licha, no? Licha means like to you. Becha means like in you, within you. Deep, deep. They're digging deep. Again, that's why Haman is compared to that tree, like I told you. Avodah Zarah daf memhei. If you uproot an Avodah Zarah tree, what do you have to do? L'sharish acharei. You got to dig out the roots. That's what Amalek tries to do. They try to uproot our shoresh. They're digging deep. V'yizanev hakavana shekvar nigmar hakol. V'yizanev. It sounds like what? V'yizanev. They cut off. Again, v'yizanev means the zanav. Rashi says, makas zanav. They struck at the zanav. The zanav means the tail. Right? The extremity. Again, it means the brismila, which protrudes from the body. But it also means that they tried to, like, so to speak, like, this is the end. Right? A zanav means an end. The tail means the end. It's the end of an animal, so to speak. It's the back part. It's the extension. It's where it ends. It's the farthest reach. So Amalek tries to cut off, so to speak, the farthest reach. It reaches this far, ad kan. And they try to cut at that point. Amalek omer la'adam ata chote uposheya. Right? You're a chote. You're a sinner. And therefore, with regard to your hope, efes. There's nothing left. Aval tzaddik Omer lo came, but then the Mordechai tzaddik comes along and he says, "What do you mean Ephes? Right? There's no hope. Ephes. That was the curse word that the Meraglim used when they gave up on Eretz Yisrael. Ein Musa kazeh. There's no such concept. Sheofsa tikva that the hope is lost. Lefisha kasher bein Yisrael Hashem Yisbachu kasher olam. The bond between us and Hakadosh Baruch Hu is a permanent one. Bilti yecholas leifero. It cannot be undone. Right." We're all used to thinking that Purim has to do with what? Purim is Lashon of poor, he built poor, hua goral. That poor means a lottery, there's a lot to say about that. But it's also from a Lashon of hafara, right? To be mefir a neder, to dissolve a promise. Right? There's hataras nadarim and there's hafaras nadarim. There's undoing a bond. Haman was trying to undo the bond. So our response is that no, it's not possible to dissolve this connection. Right? It's the connection of parent and child. It's not the connection of husband and wife. It's not the connection of chavrusas. It's not the connection of Rebbe and Talmud. It's not the connection of boss and employee. It's parent and child. It's an eternal bond. There's nothing you can do to divorce yourself from your parents. Banim atem l'Hashem l'kechem, or Hashem's children, whether you like it or not, Amalek. Not only did Hashem consider us as the starting point of creation, Yisrael alu b'machshava tchila, that we were the original thought, but more than that, chidesh Hashem Yisbarach as a kasher kama pamim. History, HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked to solidify this bond. Kasher kesher akesher em Avraham Avinu, lo lezara achar arolam. Again, we were the original plan of creation. That's Aleph. That's our first point of connection to Hashem. What happened after that? After that, Hashem made a further kesher with Avram Avinu. And after that, Avram's children. Uve'ez Kabbalah Satorah. What happened at Kabbalah Satorah? Chevra, recognize these next few words? Where is it from? Obviously this week's Parsha, of course. Where else? Hinei dama bris asher karas Hashem v'chem. Moshe sprinkles blood on the Jews. Shmos perichav dali. Moshe sprinkles blood on the Jews. Solidifying the bond. Uva'arbos moa, v'ahar grizim, v'ahar evil. Look at how many times throughout history Hashem is mechazik the kesher. Chuta meshula shalob meher yinotik. A three-ply cord is not easily severed. Our knot with Hashem is tied over and over and over and over. Kein nischadish a kesher. V'niskasher shuv v'shuv b'ksharm maga b'ksharm. A kesher on top of a kesher on top of a kesher. It's chazak, chazak. It's so strong. Kesher bal yinotik la'olam. A rope, a knot that can never be undone. Ubelvad sheyishmu l'kol atzadik l'bal yitesh. But you gotta listen to the tzaddik. Otherwise, God forbid, you'll buy into the perception of a malik that the bond is not a permanent one. It's not an eternal one. Okay, let me just tell you one remez that I thought of this morning, and then I want to just add a couple famous things that you should just know about very 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 quickly. It says, the Torah says, again, Vayizanev Becha. And Rashi says, what is Vayizanev Becha? Vayizanev Becha, Rashi says, Makas Zanav. Makas Zanav. What's the gematria of Makas Zanav? Makas Zanav means that they struck at our Zanav. They struck at our Prismila. That's what a Malik tried to undermine. Vayizanev Becha, Rashi says, Makas Zanav. So how much is Makat? 460. How much is Zanav? 59. So what do you got? 519. Ah, Kabbalistic number. Nu, what are we learning today? How did our whole piece start? We got a Megillah, Hu Lashon, Hisgalus. Yeah? The goal is that when Amalek tries to say, this is where the relationship ends, you say, no, there's more depth to our relationship to uncover. It never ends. Megillah Esther. Yeah? So Makas Zanav is Gematria 519. So the Sfarim tell us that the bracha that we make on the Megillah is what? What bracha do we make on the Megillah? What bracha do we make on the Megillah? Al Mikra Megillah. So Al Mikra Megillah is also Gematria 519. Okay, nice little remez. Nice little remez. Al Mikra Megillah is our response to the Makas Zanav that Amalek is trying to do. Right? They try to show us that, look, God is not with you anymore. Right? So we say, what do you mean? Let's read the Megillah. And in the Megillah, Hashem's name appears zero times. And yet it's filled with Hashem from beginning to end. So we're not falling for that. That's our response to Amalek. Okay? That's Aleph. Beis, and with this I conclude. Vayizanev Becha. What's the gematria of the word Becha? Okay, so you could say 22. Or you could say Nani. You could say 502. Because a Chaf Sofit is 500. Ah, 502. That's the ultimate Purim number. 502. Nu, what's 502? You're supposed to drink until you don't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. What's the gematria of Arur Haman? Aleph Reish Vav Reish Haman. Arur. How much is Arur? Arur is 407. And Haman is 95. How much? 502. Arur Haman is 502. How much is Baruch Mordechai? How much is Baruch Mordechai? So Baruch is 228. And Mordechai is 270. Four, Baruch Mordechai is the same gematria as Arur Haman. 502, right? Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai are the same gematria. So 502 and 502. Okay, what else is 502? Who's Haman's tati? Where does Haman come from? Right? Haman, what's he called in the Megillah? He's Ben Hamdasa. Haman Ben Hamdasa. Right? What's the gematria of Ben Hamdasa? 502, you got it. 502, very good. Okay, and what is Amalek trying to destroy? What have we been learning? They've been trying to destroy Emunah, right? But specifically, the Svarim, again, as it's explained, it's not an emuna of intellect. It's not an intellectual awareness of Hashem. It's an emuna pshuta that halavai we should be zocha to have. Right? What's the gematria of emuna pshuta? 502, very good. Wow. You're fast, Seth. You're very fast today. Okay? Good. Excellent. Okay, Amalek tries to what? To sever the love. Right? V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, you shall love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chol nafshecha, with all of your soul. Why is it so important to love Hashem with all of your soul? See, there's parts of your soul, again, that Amalek can target, but what does Esther say? Save the deepest part of your soul, right? If I serve Hashem b'chol nafshecha, then Amalek can't get me. If I know that there's the deepest part, the pintle yid, that can never be destroyed, the emuna pshuta, when all the other sophisticated emuna falls apart, but the emuna pshuta that Hashem loves me remains true. So the Svarim HaKadoshim say, Bechol nafshecha is gematria 502, 502. Where do we get our emuna pshuta from, Chevra? Who do we get it from? The Avos, right? The Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, right? That's not 502 if you add up their names, but they lived lives of emuna, the Svarim say. They lived lives that were filled with emuna. How many years did Avram Avinu live? 175. How many years did Yitzchak live? 180. How many years did Yaakov live? 147. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, 175, 180 plus 147 is? 502 Josh. Wow, you're a genius. Wow, beautiful, beautiful. So Rabbi, we have to know these things. We have to know that we are the original plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to know that this love is unchanging. We have to know how to love Hashem with all of our heart and all of our soul to realize in the depths of our being that even when it looks like it's Ara Haman, it's really Baruch Mordechai. What did he say here? What did he say here? He said we're the original plan of creation, no? He said it a few times, that we're the Alu B'machshava Tchila. What happens when the angels are watching Rabbi Akiva be tortured to death and they start questioning if Hashem's actually running the show anymore? Like, is this also one of the scenes that was meant to be in the movie? What's Hashem's answer? What's Hashem's response to the Malachim in Shemayim? What does Hashem say? Kach Allah b'machshava. This was my original plan. Kach Allah b'machshava is gematria 502. Don't worry, I got it under control. You don't have to get nervous. Kach Allah b'machshava. It's Hashem's response to the angels when they start to question. Is this scene also in the movie? Yes. Really? That scene, that embarrassing scene for me in high school, is supposed to be in the movie? The answer is yes. That's part of the movie also. It's not in like the, you know, the deleted scenes that you can only get like if you order the special edition of the film. Right? No, it's part of the movie. It's part of the movie. So Rabbosi, I'll tell you one last 502 that you should know. You should know a good one. Just one more good 502. Ki heim chayenu v'oyach yamenu is also 502. So the Yisodos, our connection to the Avos, Emuna Pshuta, to realize Baruch Mordechai, even though it looks like it's Aruch Haman, it's the same gematria, to know it's Baruch Mordechai. Right? Haman is Ben Hamdasa, 502. He's trying to uproot the Emunah Pshuta that we have from our Avos. To love Hashem, B'chol Nafshecha, 502. To realize that the Jewish people were the original plan of creation. Kach Allah B'machshava. This was always the plan. 502. Ki Heim Chayenu Baruch Yameinu. This is our life and it's never going away. So what does Amalek try to do? Vayizanev B'cha. They try to chop off the 502, the Becha, 502. They try to undermine our whole kesher to a Kodesh Baruch. And we're not gonna stand for that. Right, Jared? We're not going to stand for that. Okay, good. It's time to learn some Chalav Yisrael. Okay, I'll take your comments in the front. We'll let everyone get to